Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Technograph Industries India Limited Q3 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Systematix Institutional Equities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Anshika Patnaik from Systematix Institutional Equities. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Yusuf. On behalf of Systematix Institutional Equities, we welcome you all to the Q3 and 9M FY25 earnings conference call of Technograph Industries India Limited. From the management side, we have Mr. Navneet Kumar Saraf, Director and CEO, Mr. Ashish Kumar Saraf, Director and CFO, Mr. Anil Varodia, Group CFO. I will now hand the conference over to the management for their opening remarks, followed by the Q&A session. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Technograph quarterly results investor conference call. This is Navneet Saraf, Director and CEO. So, as you all have seen, it has been a mixed quarter for Technograph this December 2024. While we have seen an increase in sales compared to the last quarters, we have seen some pressure on the bottom line. We'll be discussing these further in the call. Predominantly, what we have seen is the impact of depreciation, particularly in our scaffolding and textile units on account of the new units that we had set up. So that's contributed. And along with that, there has also been some mark-to-market losses that we have taken on board this quarter. So it's been a mixed quarter overall, and I would now like to take it to questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to withdraw yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Chetan Vora from Abakkus Asset Manager. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, sir. Hello, am I audible?
Yeah, good morning, good morning. Please go ahead.
Sir, I just wanted to understand what's the outlook on the scaffolding? As the execution has been quite strong, but in terms of profitability, it has been quite subdued. I understand the reasons mentioned by you, but it is now five quarters in a row when the margins have been hovering at around 13%-15% range, wherein we used to make anywhere between above 18%. So how do we plan to bridge that part?
Yes. So yes, you are right that the margins have been under pressure. But basically, if you see the past four quarters, what we have primarily observed in scaffolding is there has been a marked increase in depreciation because we've set up the new plant in Aurangabad where total CapEx of about 220 crores has been incurred, and the plant has started. And so we have started depreciating the assets. In this quarter, October to December itself, the total depreciation was about 5 crores, just under 5 crores. And whereas in the preceding quarter of September, it was about 2 crores. So there's a 3 crore increase in depreciation in this quarter itself compared to the last quarter. So if we were to, so that is basically a major reason because after depreciation, quarter on quarter, the segment profit of scaffolding is more or less the same compared to the last quarter, and it's actually higher than the December 2023 quarter. So that's really been the main reason. Other than that, there I think the margin profile as such has been intact. We've continued to have, there has been in the past some impact, which I have mentioned in our call about freight. You know, we've had, I think it was June or September quarter where freight costs had increased significantly. So we had taken some hit due to that. So that's also been the case. December quarter is also seasonally a little weak. So that also has some effects. But overall, the prospects continue to be robust. Our new capacity in Aurangabad is taking shape. We will now see gradually increase in output coming from there. Till December, the output from that facility has actually been very, 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 very small, and it has negligible impact on our top line and bottom line. But we'll start to see a material impact coming from the March quarter of this year onwards. And then, as I said earlier, in the next fiscal year, we will see a stronger impact of that particular plant coming. So you mean to say that
so far, the revenue growth of 28%, what you are reporting in scaffolding, it is the new plant which is commissioned, the contribution of those plants in this number is quite low, right? This is the organic growth, what
yes.
we are seeing.
It is actually negligible. It's actually zero because we have, you know, the MAC1 output has been zero till December. What we have seen is only some of the backward integration started, aluminium extrusion, but that's also been in testing, debottlenecking kind of phase. So this 28% revenue growth is purely out of the Murbad units.
So if we were to exclude the fronting cost of the newly commissioned plant, so whether the profitability is maintained for the Murbad plant at around 20-odd%, sir? For this scaffolding?
So this quarter the profitability was 39 crores, and like I said, 39 crores had a 5 crore depreciation of the Aurangabad plant included. So, you know, without that it would have been 44 crores.
Right. But the other overhead cost also...
Which would be about 15%, which would be about 15% of revenue.
Right, but apart from depreciation, the other overhead cost of the Aurangabad plant also would have got
exactly
right.
Exactly. So without all that, without those fronting costs, like I'm saying, without those fronting costs, our margin would have been maybe 16-17%, closer to the 20% mark.
Okay, sir. Sir, on the engineering vertical, I was just slightly worried to see, you know, the revenue growth since last two quarters has been like negative 1%, 2%, and the margins have also declined, and this quarter the margins have gone, you know, all time low of 10%. I understand that we are ramping up the bench strength. Can you explain, you know, what is leading to this revenue decline, and how should one see this engineering vertical?
Okay, so first of all, I don't see a revenue decline. Compared to the September quarter, the revenue has marginally gone up. Maybe you're saying compared to the December 23 quarter, there is a small revenue decline. Firstly, the December quarter is always seasonably a little bit of a weak quarter because of Christmas holidays, and so you lose billing because of holidays over there. So that's one aspect that contributes. And the other major aspect is, like I mentioned before, this year we have increased our sales and marketing spends considerably. We've increased that in the US, in Germany, in both these geographies. We've also increased our bench strength by starting new verticals like plant engineering and automation, where we've been recruiting heavily. And, these are verticals. So in this business, it takes about a year for materially new revenue to come in for new verticals. Now, we are seeing, actually on the ground, we are seeing good positive traction because our strategy of, getting larger accounts is actually working. We've been able to open several new accounts. We've been able to open several new accounts in new vertical like plant engineering as well. But it takes time for the revenue from these accounts to ramp up. Similarly, you know, when we had, even when we had seen the strong revenue growth of 38% in this business, in March 2022 or March 2023, you know, prior to that couple of years, we would have seen, you know, some pressure on the bottom line because, we, you know, we would have increased our costs, and it takes a year longer for the revenue to come in. So it's the same thing, you know. We will see a jump in revenue as we start to see the revenue from new accounts and new verticals start to materially increase, which we should start seeing in the next financial year.
Right.
But the demand environment continues to be strong, the markets are strong, and there is, you know, we are not seeing any slowdown as such.
Right. Because could you quantify, you know, from what to what the employees have gone increased on the sales and the bench strength?
So I don't have exact numbers with me. I can give you rough figures. We have increased our sales and marketing expenditure this year by, I would say, roughly about 1.5 crore-2 crore a month. So, you know, that's about, you know, so that's the increase. In addition to that, we have also increased costs of, you know, by hiring senior delivery heads in verticals like plant engineering, for which I don't have exact numbers. I mean, we can give it to you separately offline, but that's in addition to that. But 1.5 crore-2 crore definitely has increased on account of additional sales and marketing spends.
So going forward on optimal utilization, what revenue can this vertical generate for us on an annual basis, sir? Which used to do anywhere between close to 230 crore-240 crore or 60 crore yearly, quarterly.
Right, right.
So it can be ramped up to what levels?
So based on the new vertical we have created and the capacity that we have created and the bench strength we have created, we are actually good to do about 270 crore in revenue, you know, based on that. Additional, yeah, that's what our revenue target is, which is in the immediate preceding year, in the next year.
Got it. Got it. Thank you. Thank you. And sir, the other income has gone quite low. Can you explain the reason for that?
Alex, you want to take that?
Yeah, Chetan, the other income has gone low because of the mark-to-market. So December quarter, you know, we have to, whatever investment we have to take it to the value as on 31st December. So December 2023, the market was robust and it was quite high, whereas in December 2024, the market was down. So mark-to-market has led to different costs.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it, sir. And sir, Navneet, can you, you know, guide us, you know, how's the full year outlook looks like for 2025 and 2026 for the company as a whole, you know?
For 25, 26?
Yeah, for 2025, FY 2025, as well as FY 2026.
Right. So FY 2025, I think we have one quarter left, and I think we are going to see from a revenue standpoint, we will definitely see revenues to be higher than December quarter because some of the seasonal effects will go away. March is always a little bit of a better quarter. We will also see, I think, better bottom line because we will start to see more positive impact coming from Aurangabad plant. We will also not see the holiday effect coming for the engineering services business. So I think March 2025, last quarter, should be definitely better both in top line and bottom line than December quarter, as is always. As far as next fiscal year, 2025, 2026 goes, I think drum closure is steady. You know, we will see similar growth in that as we had seen last year. Scaffolding, we'll see, like I have said before, the increment coming from the Aurangabad unit, which should see about 400 crore net increase in top line, and about 70-
That will be the next year itself, sir?
25, 26, yeah. Fiscal year 26.
Yeah. So 400 crore-
That we should see.
Organic growth, what we are seeing, right?
Yeah. I mean, taking into account everything, I think we should see a net increase of at least 400 crore in top line.
Okay. Okay, got it.
Okay. which would be partly growth from Murbad, partly growth from Aurangabad, and we should see corresponding growth in the bottom line, wherein at least about 70 crores or so, we should see increase in the bottom line. Engineering business, we should see us getting close to that 270 crore revenue based on the new capacities that we have created. So that's, you know, we should see ramp-ups of new accounts, and we should see that happening as well. And so I think, and then on the textiles front, while Ashish can tell you more, but I mean, overall, you know, we are seeing cash profits now. The reason why it's negative is because of depreciation. So, you know, while challenges are there, but we are still, you know, we are actually seeing some improvements in our spinning as well as in our utilizations in garments, et cetera. So I think next year should be better than this year. So that's how we see the next year overall for the company.
Ashish, if you can guide us on the margins front on the annual basis, the drum closure, scaffolding and engineering, sir, for the year as a whole.
So drum closure will be similar to this year, and scaffolding will obviously be better than this year because of, you know, better utilization of assets, and same would apply for engineering.
Got it. Got it. And lastly, if Ashish can explain, you know, what's the outlook on the textile side, that will be great. Thank you.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning. I think, textile side, we now, this year we have started a new spinning unit, which took some time to stabilize, so we haven't seen the full, benefit in the top line of that in this year, but we will see it in the next, financial year. So that, unit will add about 200 crores to the top line of the textile division. And the fixed cost will kind of remain the same, you know, so it could, we are taking advantage of economies of scale, and, hopefully the EBITDA, of the spinning will improve, further to what it is now. Market outlook, for India seems to be positive, especially in the ready-made, segment, because of, you know, what we can see happening between, U.S. and China, and I think it's just gonna get worse. I think there's a lot of opportunity which will come into India's way, in the ready-made segment. So that's where we are also focusing on, and we're trying to ramp up that and strengthen operations in the garmenting side, so we can convert all our raw material and sell it as a finished product rather than selling the raw material as it is. So that's the plan for next year, and we hopefully that will pan out in better bottom lines.
Okay. Okay, thank you. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Uttam Reddy from Reddy Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Sir, good morning. Now that the Aurangabad plant CapEx is completed, can you guide if you have any major CapExes planned for the next two, three years? Any big projects coming up?
No, nothing significant. In the next two, three years, we don't have any significant CapEx planned, actually, in any of our divisions. Aurangabad is going to, you know, we are going to basically be, it's going to be maintenance CapEx.
Okay. Secondly, sir, the taxation on buybacks has changed, starting from first October 2024. So is that something the management will continue to pursue in terms of buyback? Or if not, how will the shareholders be rewarded?
Yeah, we will discuss this in the board meeting. You are right that the buyback is no longer, you know, tax effective as compared to dividend. The board will take appropriate decision for rewarding the shareholder, maybe in the form of dividend, but it's too early to say anything as of now.
Okay, sir. And thirdly, lastly, actually, I see that we are doing a lot in the defense space. Last time we spoke about JT coolers. This time I saw some pictures of some missiles and all that, a collaboration with Israel. Can you give some guidance on how large of an opportunity this might be, speaking for the defense sector as a whole that we are pursuing?
Yeah. As of now, the defense sector is quite small. Basically, defense, as such, takes a lot of time. What happens is, you know, you make a product and go to DRDO or to the Defense Division, Government of India, and present them. These are the products we have developed. And to convert that samples or the product that has been developed into a commercial order, it takes a lot of time. And we are discussing with a France company and another company from, let's say, which one was that?
Israel.
Israel, yeah. So there are two countries we are talking to, but you know, it always takes time. So very difficult to predict what will happen for the defense, but we are putting, you know, all efforts for success of those products.
Okay, okay. Sir, for FY26, in previous con calls, we have given a rough guidance of an increase in top line by 450 crore and a bottom line by 80 crore or so. So we are sticking to this guidance, correct, sir?
Yeah, so like I said, yes, for scaffolding segment, we are expecting somewhere between 400 and 450 crore increase in top line and 80 crore increase in bottom line coming due to, you know, full capacity utilization in Aurangabad. Yes.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much. That's it from my end.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Viraj Parekh from Carnelian Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I just want to follow up on the first participant's question, the scaffolding business. Currently, I understand we have, you know, have a new capacity come on stream and we have certain overhead expenses which are chewing off our margins. But when you say that if you normalize those, we would be inching more towards the high teens margins. But as we ramp up the capacity going ahead, and as I see our volume data for scaffolding, it's at 8,100 or 8,000 MT, which is similar as H1 last year, or if not more. So do you think that there's scope for margin improvement in scaffolding beyond the high teens as we optimally utilize the capacity and even improve the product mix?
Yes, so you know, in scaffolding, one major contributor which is going to come is the European market. We have recently obtained the B certification last month, and we've become the first non-European company to get that. As a result of that, we are now certified to do our own distribution to end customers in certain key countries in Europe like Poland, Czech Republic, Norway, Sweden, etc. Already we are ramping up our sales presence there and we are already seeing good traction on the ground. So this has largely been an untapped market for us. You know, scaffolding, just the scaffolding segment, I'm not talking about the formwork segment here, that's a different ballgame. But just the scaffolding segment has largely been relying on our US market, which is a good 95% of the total scaffolding revenue. So there we are continuing to grow, but obviously there the growth percentage will become smaller because we are becoming a dominant player. So this is going to be one major increase, and it's going to give us additional margin because we are selling direct to the end user. Similarly, on the aluminium formwork side, it has largely been a domestic business for us right now. That continues to grow. But we are also starting Saudi Arabia. And there again, it's a virgin market. And we are seeing strong growth potential there. We've employed our own salesperson there. We've also set up a distributor there. So I think these two geographies, Saudi Arabia and Europe, have the potential to give a big jump in revenue and margins for the scaffolding as well as the formwork segment.
Thank you, sir. Just one thing which didn't, which I didn't understand. We've been seeing that the demand has been good and that of a scaffolding segment, and that is reflected in our volume numbers. But when I look at our PPT, it's written that in the segment outlook that, you know, the demand is still pressure on margins due to geopolitical disturbances, slowdown in US and Europe. And you're optimistic on this. So if we are at current levels of you know, of volume, if we are still seeing that demand can improve further, is it that the product mix currently is a little bit on the weaker side, which is also an impact on our margins apart from the overheads of the new capacity?
So the product mix is actually very optimal. Our product mix, we have, you know, designed the product mix to have the best impact in all our markets. Look, as far as geopolitical conditions are concerned, obviously, you know, there are geopolitical disturbances. You have heard about the tariffs that Trump has introduced. Luckily, it's not come on steel or aluminum products of ours. It's only on raw material. And, you know, so we are, you know, the Russia-Ukraine war continues. So, you know, globally, there are a lot of disturbances, and there is a lot of uncertainty. And by no means are we living in a very booming economic market worldwide. It's challenging. But in spite of these challenges, I think due to our product mix, due to our, you know, our business presence and the way in which we sell with our own distribution presence, we are able to navigate and we are able to continue to grow. That's what we are saying when we say about the geopolitical disturbances. I hope that answers your question, if I've understood your question correctly.
Right, sir. The second is on the Trump closures piece of our business. There, sir, I think our outlook has been good this year in terms of mid-teens kind of a growth. How do you see next time? You already answered the question that you do see that business growing well, but I want to be a bit more specific in terms of we already are, you know, a global leader with good market share. So if you can elaborate a bit on our plans to grow in terms of volume, maybe it's gaining more market share or is it entering new geographies? Because when I look at our volume, it's kind of at 186 lakh sets or 170 lakh sets. So is it gonna, what are we seeing on that front in terms of the volume growth?
So one major growth segment is China. China is, you know, we are now the largest drum closure supplier there, but our market share is still only 12%. So, and the market in China is growing. So we are adding capacity there, and there we will see volume growth. So that's, you know, we are in a strong position there with our own manufacturing plant. Outside of China, we will, so the volume growth depends on growth in drum production, which is not substantial. So there we will continue to see whatever, you know, organic growth happens with our drum producer customers in most of the markets. And the good thing is that we are very well diversified. So we are not exposed to any one particular geography. Even though there has been very much slowdown in Europe, we've been able to continue to grow because, you know, we've been able to grow in other countries. So I think China is where the volume growth will come from. Barring that, we'll see similar single-digit growth in volumes.
So in terms of China as a market, are we able to, will we be able to perform at those 30%, 35%, 36% kind of EBIT margins which we operate at a consolidated level? Or as we see China piece growing, like how is the market, if you can explain me in terms of competitiveness, in terms of pricing?
Yeah. So first of all, we have never operated at 35%, 36% EBIT level in China. China, the EBIT margins have always been lower. It's been about 20%. And, you know, the market is definitely more competitive than other countries. So it will continue to be that, you know. We are able to command a better price in China compared to local Chinese producers because of our brand. We'll continue to command that. And, the margin, and we'll continue to maintain the 20% EBIT margins.
Right. Lastly, sir, just a bookkeeping question. I see our tax rate for this quarter has inched slightly upwards. If you could help me understand that.
Niji.
Hello?
Yeah, what you say is correct. It's around 28% as against 25% because of, you know, consolidation effect of all the countries taken together. So there is a minor adjustment that needs to be done for the other country, but otherwise, overall, our tax rate in India is 25%.
So going forward, this should normalize at 25%. Am I right?
Correct. Correct. On an annualized basis, it's always been around 24% or 25% at the most.
Great. Thank you so much, sir. All the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Riya Mehta from Equitas Investments. Please go ahead.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity. My first question is in terms of our volumes in scaffolding has increased by around 50% if we let go of the foam work. However, on a total basis, we have up by 28%. So have we seen pricing gone down by around 20-25%?
Volume in scaffolding.
Can you repeat the question?
So our volumes in the scaffolding division, so basically that is basically a MAC 1 and scaffolding division, has almost grown by 50-odd% in terms of metric terms. However, our overall has grown by 28% on a YOY basis. So is it fair to say on a YOY basis our pricing has reduced by around 15-20%?
So yes, the increase in volume is largely been due to MAC 1, because MAC 1 the sales this year is substantially higher. I'm not sure how much higher is the scaffolding sales volume in metric tons compared to last year. It may be similar actually. I don't think there is a very substantial jump in quantity. And as far as the revenue growth is concerned, you know, I really don't have data to tell you whether there has been some decline in pricing compared to last, because you know in aluminium the price fluctuates with LME, and you know, so it really depends on, you know, what was LME last year for the same period and this year for the same period, because raw material constitutes almost 70% of the selling price, so there is a lot of fluctuation.
Got it. So actually our scaffolding has gone up from 5,300 metric tons to 8,000 metric tons. So
and so has the aluminium formwork, you know, so that.
Yes, so our pricing of aluminium has gone down by 15-20%.
It is quite possible because, you know, like I said, the pricing of aluminium formwork varies with the LME. In fact, the price is never fixed. So it is quite possible.
Got it. And formwork, we've seen a little decline in volume by around 7%. So what is happening there? This is because of domestic India slowdown?
No, not slowdown. I mean, you know, this is a smaller piece. This formwork is only for infrastructure. And it's a smaller part of the business. It's very, you know, restricted to a few customers. So there can always be some reduction in offtake or some slowdown or delay in the project ramp-up cycle kind of a thing.
Got it. And in terms of, you just mentioned we are adding capacity in drum closure in China. So what would be the capacity addition?
So currently we are already doing about 2 million sets a month in China. And we are expecting to increase this to 3 million sets, which will happen gradually over the course of next 3-4 quarters.
3-4 quarters. And how much percentage of revenue is China currently?
China would be roughly about 15%.
15%. So going forward on a whole, on a drum closure basis, we would see a certain decline in margins because China is a, as you mentioned, is 20% EBIT margin business. Is that a fair understanding?
Yes, possibly. It all depends on how much growth we have in the other segments. You know, we have always said that the EBIT margin in drum closure is about 30%. We see fluctuations. Sometimes it's higher. Normally, we always see higher than what we predict. So when we say 30%, it's always a mix, you know, what we get from other countries and what we get in China. Europe last couple of years has been slow. You know, we are seeing some recovery happening there. So you never know, we may see more increase in Europe business at higher margin, and that may also compensate for the lower margin from China.
Okay. Europe would be how much for our drum closure?
I don't have exact percentage.
No, 30%.
Okay. That's good to know. Now, second question in terms of engineering division. We had mentioned that our costs have been front-loaded because of the expansion. So how is it going and what kind of inquiries are you finding? How is the progress on that end?
Like I said, we have actually signed up, a few large accounts already opened this year. We have also opened new accounts in plant engineering, which is a new vertical that we have created. And there is business going on, but the business is currently in small revenues. So we will see a ramp up of that, as we are building our credibility and all that. We are seeing ramp up happening.
So is it fair to say that our costs would be now not increasing at the similar pace as revenue?
Yes, not on the sales front, because that we have front-loaded this year. But there will be increase in our delivery capacity as revenue picks up.
Got it. So we expect FY26 to have similar 15% to 20% growth in revenue for this segment?
Yes.
Got it. And margins to be on a upward trajectory, right? From now?
Yes.
Here.
Yes. Yes.
Got it. That's it from my side. I'll join the queue for further questions.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Kaushik Mohan from Ashika Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I hope I'm audible now. Sir, one of my questions got really answered, and I just wanted to understand that you also told that you will be discussing with the board and then coming up with the dividend. If it is, what kind of benefits that we can see if it is not happening through a buyback? Because the taxation benefit is not there, not at all there.
So the board will definitely consider rewarding the shareholder in whatever form possible. There are various forms in which the reward can be passed on. So let's wait for some time. Let board decide about the dividend, its policy. We used to declare dividend prior to 2016 and 2015, but after that we shifted to buyback because that was more tax effective for everyone. So wait for some months and the board will come with whatever best proposal one can, think of.
Sir, I have a longer term one more question. I just wanted to understand, do we have any plans or anything sort of this that we will demerge our divisions and then separately list them, or like something like textile getting into something like that? Do we have any ideas like that?
No, we don't have
any. But in a long run or anything.
Yeah. Look, we don't have any plans as such today of demerging any division in the long run. But you never know. We'll see depending on the, as things go forward and, depending on, we have to keep weighing pros and cons. If there is any, if something changes in taxation or something changes in regulatory environment, which makes us feel that that is possible, we'll look at it. But as of now, we don't have any plans to demerge any division into a separate company.
Good. And the last question from my end. Sir, I just wanted to understand what is the strategy towards European markets for the scaffolding?
As I had, I think, commented on this, we have just got that certification, the B certification, and that now qualifies us to sell scaffolding in European market to end users. Okay, it's a very, very tightly regulated market. So with that now, what we are doing is we are creating our distribution presence, which means we are going to open yards and create optimum amount of inventory and have the sales people there. So already those efforts are on, and we are already seeing results happening on that.
Okay. So do we have our own warehouses there, or are we planning to put our whatever plans we have in US?
Yes, so we already have a sales company there for some time. We are already selling some ancillaries of scaffolding there for last several years, which did not require certification. Now we are able to sell the core products. So we have a warehouse, but we maintained very minimal amount of inventory there because our sales was quite minimal. Now with the certification, we'll be ramping up that warehouse and keeping inventory of our core products.
Okay. So what will be the price difference between European market, Indian market, as well as US market and Australian market?
So European market is actually the highest price. So I think for the similar, you cannot compare with Indian and Australian because the products are different. But the European, you can compare with US. So the European market price should be about 10% higher than what we get in the US.
10% higher than what we get. So that will be a revenue contributor. So if I assume the revenue contribution from US market as well as European market becomes in the same similar, like 50-50 in the going forward, so that means that our revenue numbers will look on a greater side, because I think European markets are having more stringent rules, is what my understanding is. My assumptions are right, something like that?
Not quite, because firstly, the European market will not be 50-50 with US, because US is a bigger market. Also, the current certification that we have doesn't include all the countries in the European Union. For example, Germany is excluded. So we cannot, we have, that's a different certification. So this certificate is actually for Poland, Czech Republic, and certain Scandinavian countries. So combined effect of those will be about, you know, $10 to $15 million a year. US, we do about $55-60 million a year.
Okay. Got it. Thanks, sir. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Sarvesh Gupta from Maximal Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Sir, on the tariff part, so because of this recent tariffs which have been put on China by US, so how does that impact our business, especially because we have a presence in the drum closure division in China as well?
No, the China plant only sells in China. We don't export to the US from China, so there is no impact of that. And outside of China, the impact is positive, because right now there is no tariff on exports from India to the US. So the tariffs on China is helping our plants in India.
Okay. And secondly, sir, you mentioned, I think, you know, about a new product that you guys have developed related to AI. So what is that, and if you can dwell a little bit on that?
Sorry, I don't recall saying anything about AI. So which product are you talking about?
Sir, in the presentation, I think you had said about a new product development which has come.
Okay, so you are talking about, yeah, okay, I got the clarification. So this is pertaining to our engineering design division. So we have developed a new platform for visual detection, and that is something that we have developed in Technosoft in our IoT division. And yes, we are, you know, that is currently in testing stage, and we expect to, you know, get good traction of that amongst in our existing markets.
Understood. And sir, if I understood it correctly, so you were saying that on the scaffolding division, if we exclude these Aurangabad facilities overhead and the depreciation which has come because of that, then net-net we should be like on similar sort of an operating profit margin compared to previous year's same quarter?
Yes.
So the only impact which we have seen in the margins is because of the new facilities overhead as well as the depreciation which has come into it.
For the most part, yes, predominantly.
Okay, and on the engineering design services, you know, like again you said that we have increased probably the sales and marketing cost by 18 to 24 crores on a yearly basis. So that has had some impact. So that I understand, but on the revenues itself, I think we have seen only a 10% sort of a growth in the last 12 months. So that has been relatively tepid given the smaller scale of this division. So how do we look at these revenue growth parts, sir? I mean, we could have
probably. Because, you know, you cannot get every year the 20. You see, you have to understand that we had 38% revenue growth last year over the previous year. So it is not possible for this division to have 35%-38% revenue growth because of the sales cycle every year. So we have started this year from a higher base because last year the revenue was 198 crores and the year before it was 138 crores. So now this year, naturally the revenue growth is only 10%, but the capacity that has been created now is for 270 crore revenue, but it will take another year for that to be recognized, to materialize.
Okay. So it is mostly a base effect which has sort of played this year, and maybe in next year we should have a higher sort of a growth trajectory.
Yes. Correct.
Okay. And finally, on your textile division, so we are seeing sort of similar sort of an environment, or are we seeing any improvements going forward? Because I think because of the cotton prices, etc., there were some hopes of sort of better performance across the board in the textile industry. But even in other yarn players, we haven't seen this quarter to be good. So how is the environment shaping up?
It's very difficult to say because there is so much shifts happening in the world with this Bangladesh situation happening, then Trump coming in. We don't know what he's going to do. But we are overall, the industry is a little optimistic as far as India is concerned in the ready-made sector. Spinning, I don't think there is going to be much change in the market. Cotton prices also have kind of remained pretty much range-bound last three, 4 months. Spinning side, I think, will be status quo. We will just be taking advantage of the economies of scale in our division by doubling the capacity and keeping the fixed cost the same. Our focus is going to be more towards the ready-made segment where we, as an industry, we feel that there India has a good chance to outperform.
Okay. And we had made some shifting also, I think, of our production facilities.
Yes, yes. We shut down our Murbad operations of spinning, and we set up a new manufacturing unit in Amaravati near Nagpur. So there we are getting a lot of benefits of subsidies and power subsidy and the cheapest power cost in Maharashtra. And also, we are having the advantage of capital subsidies there.
Okay. And finally, just one bookkeeping question. What is the net debt or net cash as of now, as of December?
Net what?
Net debt or net cash?
Net cash or net debt?
Yeah. So cash equivalent is around 440 crores, and the working capital loan is around 490 crores.
Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Akhil Parekh from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Most of my questions have been answered. Just two small quick questions. One is, what kind of impact we can see because of the rupee depreciation on our overall business? That is one. And second is, what is our overall exposure to the U.S. markets, and do we see tariff risk to our business? Those are the two questions.
So there is no material impact right now on our business due to the disturbed geopolitical conditions globally. As I had said earlier, yes, there is a lot of turbulence in various countries with all these tariffs and Russia, Ukraine, and other disturbances happening. But we have been able to navigate, and we are not seeing any kind of a big drastic reduction in demand. Certainly, there has been some slowdown in demand growth. U.S. is a major contributor. For example, in our scaffolding business, about 90% of our scaffolding sales alone is in the U.S. So obviously we are affected by, you know, any kind of a major disturbance there, but we have not seen such a disturbance. And as far as tariffs are concerned, right now there is no tariff on our products to the US from India. You know, Trump has only increased the tariff on aluminium from 10 to 25, but that's on raw material. So our products currently continue to be you know, unchanged.
Sure. But if the aluminium prices decline or steel prices decline, obviously we'll see that impact on our realization of our end product. That understanding is correct.
Sorry, you're not very clear. What did you say? Can you repeat?
I'm saying if the aluminium prices decline, our realizations will decline accordingly. Is that a fair understanding?
Of course, yes. For our aluminium formwork products, yes, of course.
Sure. Okay.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vikas Gupta from Wealth Guardian. Please go ahead.
Hello. I'm audible, sir?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. My few questions are regarding some numbers. So you said the cash is around 440 crores and debt is around 490 crores. Is it right?
That's correct.
Okay, and there was a reduction in other income. Can you just quantify the amount and the reason for that?
So the reduction in other income from 19 crores to 6 crores, 25 crores to 6 crores, there are two, there's major one impact. There is the fair value of the investment which is done mark to market. It's around 22 point something, let's say 23 crores.
Okay, and so... So generally, how many SKUs do we have in scaffolding division?
SKUs.
Or maybe the parts?
Okay, yeah. We have more than 500.
Okay, and generally, how many new SKUs or parts do we develop in a year?
There is no such fixed number. I mean, we are currently developing one new system which will have about 10 to 12 SKUs.
Okay, so annually we are developing new products.
But that's not to say that we will be developing so much every year. It depends on our markets and our product development strategy.
Okay, thank you. And so last question is on the market size opportunity. So can you just give us a brief idea about the size of individual segment, the market opportunity that we have?
Size?
You want to know the size of the market, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, we are in four different verticals. So, there is not like one size. In each segment, drum closure, we are the second largest. Drum closure, roughly there are about 200 million drums made worldwide, excluding China. Another 100 million made in China. So, about 300 million drums. We are already catering to about 80 million. So, we are about 40% market share. Scaffolding, it is very difficult to give a estimate of the total size because, you know, there are various ways in which the market, I mean, totally globally, if I were to say the scaffolding market would be worth about $50 billion, but that includes material and labor, which also is a big chunk. We don't play in the labor segment. We only play in the material supply segment. If I were to consider just the material supply segment also, it may be about $10 billion as the total market worldwide. And that's just scaffolding. Formwork is a different ball game. Engineering services is again a multi-billion dollar industry. Tech ER&D services. Textiles is again a big market. Very difficult to give an estimate. We know what the total exports of textiles is from India. Again, it's more than $500 billion. So, I think that's the best way I can answer.
Thank you for that. So, my last query is on the rental side. We used to do some rental of scaffolding in the US. Has there been any pickup of that or anything?
No, I think there's a clarification. We never used to do any rentals of scaffolding in the US. We only do some very small amount of rentals of certain formwork products and only in the Indian market, and we continue to do that.
any plan to start the rental in US?
No, we don't. We don't. We don't have any plans to do that.
Okay, thank you so much, sir. Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Chirag, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. So, wanted to understand a little more about the outlook for the formwork business, more from a medium to long term. We understand that now the business will give us 400 crores more of revenue in the coming year. But how do you see that growing, say, in 3 to 5 years?
Right. So, you know, one of the major products in our formwork segment is aluminium formwork through our MAC 1 product line. This year, FY25, we will be doing about 520 odd crores in revenue, almost close to double of what we did last year. Now, this is purely from the Indian market. I mean, 100% domestic. We clearly see an opportunity to double this in India itself from the growth, traction, etc. that we are receiving. Currently, you know, we are already based on our order booking and based on production that has already started in the new facility in Aurangabad, we are already averaging right now about 60 crores a month in revenue currently from January onwards. So we easily see that 450 crores of additional capacity that we will get for the full year next year actually can get easily absorbed in the Indian market itself. Having said that, we are also starting Saudi Arabia. Now, Saudi Arabia, we recently had a team from our company visit. We've employed a salesperson there. We have a distributor there. And we are seeing some very strong growth numbers coming from there. We are receiving inquiries, etc. So we are seeing that could actually be even bigger than the India market, which would require us to further add capacity in Aurangabad, which is not a problem because we already have set up the large aluminium extrusion backward facility and we have enough land available there. So we will be continuously adding on the forward side in our MAC 1 front end. So over next, if I were to take a 3 to 4 year outlook, you know, not just the next year outlook we've already shared, but if I were to look at a 3 to 4 year outlook, I see the formwork segment being 2,500 crores, about 5 times what it is right now, based on India, Saudi Arabia, and South America is another market that we have started. You know, there is strong demand for these products. So that's how we see it.
Understand. Thank you for that, sir. So is there any pricing difference that we see in the Indian and Saudi Arabia markets?
No, very similar.
Very similar. And so generally in the past, you have said that this margins are generally around 15 to 20% for this business. Is there any outlook for that as well? That how do you see this evolve or stick at the same levels?
Yes, it is at 15 to 20%. It is competitive because there are new players coming in. So we do expect to see competitive pressure in margins. But, you know, we are addressing that because of our backward integration. So the aluminium extrusion plant, we are the first company in India to set up an aluminium extrusion plant, backward integration. That will add 2-3% to our margins. So given that, given our scale, given our quality, we should be comfortable in maintaining 15 to 20%.
Okay. Very helpful, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you very much, everybody. And it was a very nice interactive session. Enjoy taking all your questions. Please do feel free to reach out to us in case you have any further questions. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you. On behalf of Systematic Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you all for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.